Some of us remember that in June 1972, some burglars were arrested at the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. But they weren't burglars. They were actually government officials, and that began an investigation that turned out to be possibly the worst scandal affecting a sitting United States president. Congress began to hold hearings and called in witnesses and asked them, what did you know and what did you do and what's going on? But one by one, the witnesses were all nervous. Some took the Fifth Amendment for fear of self-incrimination. Other ones simply answered rather arrogantly, I don't know anything, or I forgot. Some of them actually even committed perjury. One congressman on the committee interviewing them kept asking a certain question. Well, what did you know and when did you know it? Good question. And that's always stuck with me. What did you know and when did you know it? Now, this morning we're going to ask that question in a reverently way of God. What does God know and when did he know it? And the answer, according to his word, is God has always known everything. Now, those five words are a good summary of this morning's message on the third of the O attributes of God. There's his omnipotence, his omnipresence, today his omniscience. God has always known everything. Let's begin by looking at Psalm 139, the first of a few verses we'll be looking at this morning. God knows everything, period. But what does that mean? Well, we are told a little bit about it here in Psalm 139, where David is praying and actually singing before God. You know, the Psalms were meant to be sung, and I wonder what this sounded like as David himself sang it. He begins in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Now notice he says, you know this, you've searched me, you understand. Verse 3, you comprehend. So he says, you know me. And God knows us too, friends. He has searched all about us. He knows everything in us. Verse 2, he says, you know my sitting down, my rising up. You know when I go to bed, you know when I get up. God knows all about us. You understand my thought afar off. God knows what we're thinking. Verse 3, he knows our course in life. You comprehend my path and my lying down and acquainted with all my ways. He knows where we go and why and what we do. He knows everything about our lives. He even knows our words. Verse 4, there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows our thoughts before we speak, and he knows what are the intents behind our words. He knows everything about us. And David then exults in verse 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. He knows that God knows everything about him. And rather than being afraid of this, he says, I can never know everything about me or anything like God knows about me. And this is cause for worship. Skip down to verse 17. David says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, in these verses, David realizes God knows a lot. God knows everything. And David says that's a precious thing to him, that God knows everything there is to know, not just about David, but about everything. And we call this the omniscience of God, the omniscience of God. Science is the practice of collecting information and correlating it. God knows everything. He knows all information, all data, all facts. He has knowledge of everything. And the Bible teaches this from cover to cover. There is nothing God does not know, because God does know everything. So let me just give you a few of the verses. 1 John 3:20, God knows all things. Psalm 147, verse 5, His understanding is infinite. And the previous verse to that says that God knows all the stars by number. In preparing this message, I read a very old theology book that said, the astronomers don't really agree how many stars there are. Some say there are 1,000, some say maybe even 7,000. That tells you that's a very old book, because astronomers today would say there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on all the beaches. And yet the Bible says God knows them all and even gives them names. So God does have infinite understanding. Isaiah 40:28 says His understanding is unsearchable. Job 36:4 and 37:16 says God is perfect in knowledge. And then in Job 12:13 it says, with Him are wisdom and strength, He has counsel and understanding. There's an interesting verse in 1 Samuel 2:3 where it says, the Lord is the God of knowledge. And in the Hebrew it's knowledges. And that's a Hebrew idiom for all knowledge. God knows everything. Now, let me quote one of my favorite theologians, A.W. Tozer. And this is almost poetical, the way he puts it. God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter and all matters, all mind and every mind, all spirit and all spirits, all being and every being, all creaturehood and all creatures, every plurality and all pluralities, all law and every law, all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all enigmas, all feeling, all desires, every unuttered secret, all thrones and dominions, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth, all motion, space, time, life, death, good, evil, heaven and hell. In a word, God knows everything. He knows all. Now, where does it begin? What is that that God knows most of all, from which all other knowledge springs? Well, I'll tell you. Put on your thinking caps. It begins with God. God has perfect knowledge of Himself. He has perfect self-consciousness. The Greeks used to say, know thyself. Well, we don't. Not a single one of us can say, I know everything there is to know about me. Really now, you know everything about you? Stand up and tell me how many cells are in your body. Or tell me exactly all the information in your DNA code. Nobody knows everything about ourselves. We know very, very little about ourselves, but God knows everything about Himself. And the wonder is, we don't know everything about ourselves, even though we are finite. God is infinite, and He knows all about Himself. Perfect self-consciousness. The great Dutch theologian Herman Bavinck says this is God's super consciousness. Now, let's again get deep. Everything about God has to be seen as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're told in 1 Corinthians 2 that the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. But then Jesus said in Matthew 11 that the Father and the Son also have perfect knowledge of each other. Put those verses together. Father, Son, and Spirit know everything there is to know about each other in their personalities and in their divine nature. God knows everything about God. Someone will object and say, but God is infinite. Nobody can know that which is infinite. God can, because He is infinite. The infinite God knows everything about the infinite himself. And only God can know that. God knows all about his holiness, all about his omnipotence, all about his eternity, and all other attributes. So this morning when we're looking about God knowing everything in the universe, everything in the universe is small compared to God. Now in a moment we're going to look at how God knows everything in the universe. That is staggering. But this will blow your mind. God knows everything about himself, and he is infinite. So just ponder that, maybe this afternoon when you go home. Secondly, God not only knows everything inside himself, he knows everything outside himself. The Creator has complete knowledge of his creation. That is, the cosmos, the universe. Now let's start with some small things. In Luke 12:7, Jesus said, God even knows how many hairs are on your head or are not on your head, because we lose hair and new ones grow. And there are thousands of little hairs on our head. God knows every single one of them. Now we move beyond that. God knows all details of the universe, all facts, all information, all data. We're told in the Bible he knows how many grains of sand there are, how many drops of rain come down, at what speed they fall, which one falls first. God knows all of that. God knows everything about the trees, how many trees there are, and how many twigs, and how many leaves, and how fast they grow, and how many birds are in the trees. God knows all that. God even knows all the changing details in the universe. He knows how far everything is from everything else, and everything being in motion. God keeps track of all those distances that are ever changing every split second. That's easy for God to keep track of, but it blows our minds. We can't understand that. God does. And then some people love mathematics. We have at least one mathematic teacher in this class, in this church, and another, that's his job, is he deals with numbers every day. God knows everything about numbers. He knows the square root of every number. He knows the cube root and so on. There are no mathematical puzzles that God cannot answer. Now, let's go a little bit further. Walk through a large university library. You know, you go to the university here in Springfield. I mean, go to a really big one. Go to Harvard. They have like about 20 million volumes. Go to the Library of Congress. It has over 50 million. Think of those millions of books with billions of words within there. God knows them all. Or the enormous information in every bit of DNA in every person. God knows it all immediately. God knows every byte of data ever on the internet. And God is infinitely greater than all the great supercomputers. Then look at the really small things. All the atoms throughout the known universe and all the molecules in the unknown universe. God knows all that. God even knows what's happening in the subatomic particles and the quasars and all that. That which our scientists are still learning and learning, God already knows it all. Now, this is mind-boggling, and for that reason, some people think, well, it's unworthy of God to be bothered with the little things in the universe. And so he's only concerned about the big things, as if he doesn't know the little things. In the 4th century, the early father Jerome said, it's unworthy of God to know how many insects are born or die every minute, or the number of bugs on earth, or the number of fishes in the sea. It's not what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus Christ said, there is not even a little bird out in the forest that falls to the ground dead that your father doesn't know about. He knows and he cares. And Jesus said, if he cares enough about that poor little sparrow, does not he care for you? Now, using that analogy of something falling in the forest, you probably heard the old philosophical question. If a tree falls in a forest and nobody is there to hear it, does it make a noise? Yes, God is there to hear it and to see it. So it's really a silly question. So everything is known by God, even things that man does not know or cannot know. That's why we use sometimes that little phrase a little too glibly. Well, God only knows. Yes, there are many things that only God knows. Now, we've just established from the Bible that God does know everything. But that raises the question, how does God know everything? This is also a little deep. That he knows it is indubitable. How he knows it is a little bit harder to understand. Theologians will say, well, God knows everything by perfect intuition. Not like our imperfect intuition where we think, we guess, we have a feeling, we have hunches. God didn't go by hunches. What they mean is, God knows everything, but not like we do. God doesn't learn by steps, by observation, by logical deduction like we do. God doesn't use the scientific method. We generally learn by our five senses. We see something. We feel it. We taste it. You know what it's like. You go through this, you gather this data, and then you correlate it, and then you remember it, and you correct the mistakes and so forth. God doesn't do any of that. For one thing, he doesn't have physical senses. But I guess the simple way is to say it is God already knows everything without having to learn it. God already knows everything. The great Puritan Stephen Charnock, in his wonderful book, The Existence and Attributes of God, put it like this. God, therefore, knows no more now than he did before, and at the end of the world, he shall know no more than he doth now. And from eternity, he knows no less than he doth now and shall do to all eternity. What does that mean? God always knows everything, and God always will know everything. He never had to learn everything, anything. He has always known everything. It's like his omnipresence. You remember? God doesn't have to travel to go anywhere. He's already everywhere. Or his omnipotence. God already can do everything. He doesn't grow stronger. And in the same way, God doesn't learn anything because he already knows everything. Always has. And so there's nothing left for him to learn or to know. Now, we need to correct something at this point. When we talk about God knowing everything, some people will say, that sounds very mechanical. No, God doesn't know things like an impersonal computer. You could say this is living knowledge, personal knowledge, emotional, practical knowledge that we'll look at in another lesson called wisdom or know-how. God knows what to do with the knowledge he has. Now, here's the first lesson for us this morning, brethren. When we learn things, we shouldn't just simply make it an impersonal hobby like we collect bits of information that's useless trivia. No, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of the cognitive abilities God has given us. He wants us to use our minds for his glory. Now, let's apply that also as we're studying the Bible. There are people that know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know God. God gave us the Bible so that we can know him personally in a living relationship with him. So we should study the Bible, study theology, so that we can know him more for the glory of God. So God knows everything perfectly. God never guesses. God never speculates. He never conjectures or estimates anything. God knows everything with perfect certainty. He never has doubts like we do. Never has reservations. God is never confused like we are. God never makes mistakes like we do. You see, I keep saying like we do because we try to project our idea of knowing things upon God and it breaks down. Mark Twain said, some people know a lot of things, but most of it ain't so. But with God, it is so. He makes no mistakes. Everything he knows with absolute certainty. Have you ever experienced that rather embarrassing moment when you find out you made a big mistake? And I don't mean you just made a mistake on your income tax and now you have to pay a fine. I mean, you thought you knew something and you told people about this. Oh, I know it. I'll go to the mat on that. And then you find yourself saying, oops, You know, I thought that I remembered that, but it turns out differently. For example, you watch a movie. This happened to me once where I watched an old movie and I used to always think, oh yeah, I remember how the movie came out. And I watched the movie many years later and a different person committed the crime. And I said, you know, I thought that it was different. You ever have that rather embarrassing experience? Our memories are not perfect. God's is. Our information banks are not infallible. God's is. We can make mistakes in our knowledge, but God doesn't. God never learned anything, for he has always known everything. Now notice that I keep saying always. He has always been omniscient. In this series, we're looking at the attributes of God, and I've said we need to correlate them. We looked once at the eternity of God. Now we're looking at the omniscience of God. God has always, from eternity, known everything. Acts 15:18. Known to God from eternity are all his works and everything else. God never learned. Therefore, God was never a student. Let me show you a good verse. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. We learn by being students, either it's homeschool, public school, private school. We read books, computers. God has never been a student, nor has he ever had a teacher or counselor to whom he has to go for advice. Now look at these verses in Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? And the answer is nobody. God doesn't get information from libraries or computers or from any teachers. Nobody has to teach God anything. He already knows everything. Now, there's our next lesson. We need to remember this. It is out of bounds for us to offer advice to God. You say, oh, I'd never do that. Oh, we do sometimes in our prayers or our thoughts or in our Bible study or when we're trying to formulate biblical doctrine. We say, well, it seems to me like this, or my opinion is this. That's our opinions. We dare not impose that upon God. God asks us to come and learn, not come and teach. He is the great teacher. So we shouldn't offer God advice and certainly not try to correct God. We are not to rely upon our opinions, but upon God's truth. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Job 21:22. Can anyone teach God knowledge? Rather, God is the source of all knowledge. He is the ultimate teacher. He knows everything. We don't. And brethren, the first step in wisdom is for us to say, I don't know, but God does know. Lord, teach me. I am stupid, and I come to you for knowledge. Now, this goes square against the popular theory of evolution that says man kind of evolved into a thinking creature. Little animals, they don't really think, but we evolved out of that, and so we begin to think. We make mistakes, but, oh, we're good creatures. We're growing and we're learning more and more. That's not how it happened. God created Adam and Eve originally as thinking creatures to be taught by God. Psalm 94:10 says, he who instructs the nations, shall he not correct he who teaches man knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Here's our next lesson. We are to learn from God, and we are to say, Lord, I don't know. Teach me. That takes humility simply to say those words, I don't know. But how do we learn from God? God has given us an infallible book, and we should say, Lord, teach me from your word. Now, there's still more to this wonderful teaching of the omniscience of God. God knows everything in the past. God has instant recall. He remembers everything. Now, In one sense, you could say God doesn't remember. What do I mean? When we remember, it's like we have to pull something up from our memory banks. God doesn't have to do that. It's like when we do something on the computer and we have to dip into the files. God doesn't have to do that. For when we do that, we're going through a process whereby we start at a moment that we don't know it, and then it comes back to us. God doesn't have to remember because all knowledge is instantaneously there in front of him in perfect harmony. So God doesn't have to pull up data from his memory files. He already knows everything at once at the same time. But concerning information of things in the past, let's say history in the past, because God fills all time, he already knows it now. God doesn't forget. We do all the time. We forget things that happened yesterday, last week, month, year, 10 years ago. God never forgets. Everything is automatically in front of him. Now, someone will raise an objection at this point, drawn from the Bible. Do you hear it coming? Insist. But Dr. Daniel, doesn't the Bible say that God forgets our sins when he forgives us? Doesn't it say right here in the book of Isaiah, I will remember their sins no more? Get out of that if you can. Well, I don't have to get out of it. I'd have to simply understand it. Remember, many years ago, I was teaching a Bible study, and one fellow that thought he was being profound said, well, when God forgives us, he literally doesn't remember that we had sinned that sin. And I said, really? He said, yes, he doesn't know that. And I said, then what do you do with the verses that say God does know everything? And he stumbled and said, well, God doesn't know these things. No, God does know those things. But what does it mean when it says God remembers our sins no more, or God forgets our sin? The answer is this. It's a figure of speech. That's a Hebrew way of saying God forgets it, or as we would say, forgive and forget. It's saying God's not going to dredge it up and use it against us. So in that sense, you could say, yes, God forgets our sins, but he remembers that we sinned, but he remembers also that he has forgiven us. If God literally forgot our sins, he'd know almost nothing about our pre-Christian life that was filled with sins. He remembers us out of omniscience, but out of grace as well. Now, this is like the other controversial saying, God sees no sin in a believer. It's based upon a verse in the book of Numbers where it says God sees no sin in Israel. And yet they were sinners. That's simply a Hebrew way of saying God saying, I forgive it and will not use it against them in condemnation. So God remembers that we have sinned, but he also remembers that he has forgiven us. Now, here's another lesson coming your way. We need to forgive like God forgives. And so we say we should forgive and forget. But some people will say, oh, I can forgive, but I can never forget. Pastors have learned that when people say that, they usually mean I cannot forgive. So how do we apply this lesson? We are to forgive as God has forgiven us, we're told in Ephesians 4. We are to forgive someone because God has forgiven us. So later, when we remember what that person did against us, don't use that as an opportunity to dredge it back up and use it against the person. When you remember that fault that you have forgiven, remember that you have forgiven it completely. And this is a lesson we need to learn from how God forgives us. Now, here's another aspect of his omniscience. Only God is omniscient. This is an incommunicable attribute. Only God knows everything. Not the angels. 1 Peter 1 says angels are looking into things as they are happening and looking into the Word of God to learn more. One thing about the good angels, however, when they learn things, they never forget and they never make mistakes. But then there are fallen angels, Satan and the demons, very real. They don't know everything. They're not everywhere. They cannot do everything. But they may remember a lot and they know a lot more than we do. But unlike the good angels, they do make mistakes. My point is, only God knows everything. We will never become omniscient, even in heaven. Now, in heaven, we will go through eternity learning more and more and more about ourselves, others that are in heaven, about past history, what God was doing on earth. We'll learn far more about the cosmos. Our minds will just explode, as it were, learning more and more and more, never making mistakes, never forgetting anything. But we will never know everything. Oh, here's something good. We will particularly go on knowing more and more about God. As I said earlier, only an infinite God can know everything about God who is infinite. We will never be infinite. But yet, the wonder is we will go on knowing more and more about God for all eternity. Now then, neither humans nor good or bad angels are omniscient. Someone's going to say, what about Jesus? Is he omniscient? Well, we've come across that several times in these messages. We have to remember that Jesus is both man and God. As man, follow me, he was not omniscient. We're told in Luke 2 that Jesus grew in wisdom. And in Mark 13, Jesus himself said that he did not know the date of the second coming in his humanity. But then the Bible also says Jesus Christ is God, and being God, he is omniscient. For example, John 1, Jesus knew something about Nathanael when Nathanael was a long distance away. He says, Nathanael, I saw you sitting under that tree. How'd you know I was under that tree? Jesus knows everything, even things in another location. John 21:17, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. And gradually the apostles began to realize this. In John's gospel, all the apostles agreed and said, now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. Now, the mystery that even the greatest theologians have not solved is, how can God, Jesus in his deity know everything, but in his humanity not know everything? That mystery has not been revealed to us. Perhaps we'll know it in heaven. But my point is, in Jesus' deity, he does know everything. In his humanity, he is not omniscient. Is there anything else to this wonderful truth? Yes, much. God knows everything that is or ever was. God knows everything that could be, but never will be. Wow. And that really opens vistas to his knowledge. God knows what apples would look like if he created them blue rather than red. Matthew 11, verses 21 to 23, Jesus talked about the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. If they had seen miracles, they would have repented, but they never saw miracles. In other words, it was a hypothetical situation that never happened, but he knew what would have happened anyway. Now, you get the point. God knows not only everything that is or was, he knows things that never were or never will be. He knows all of that perfectly. Now, here's where it gets personal with us. God knows everything about everything. God knows everything about everybody. God knows everything about us. It's personal. Gets somewhat uncomfortable to us. Jeremiah 17:10, God says, I, the Lord, search the hearts, I test the mind. He knows everything in our minds, what we're thinking. He knows everything in our hearts that we're feeling. Ezekiel 11:5, God says, I know the things that come into your mind. Someone once said, our thoughts are as loud in heaven as our words are on earth. Ponder that. God knows it even when we don't speak it. Now, this is a threat to unbelievers that are still in their sins. The fact that God knows everything about them. Job 11:11, God, it says, he knows deceitful men. He sees wickedness also. Hosea 7:2, God says, I remember all their wickedness. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God knows everything about people, but we try to keep things to ourselves and we say, hey, this is my private space. Not just where I am, but what's between my ears. This is my mind. And I tell you what I'm thinking, and we lie and we put on masks. That doesn't fool God. God knows everything we're thinking makes us uncomfortable. There's an interesting incident in Daniel 2. Nebuchadnezzar asked his magicians to tell him his dream, and they didn't know it. God knows our dreams, and he revealed it to Daniel. God knows what we're thinking. He even knows what we're dreaming when we're asleep. He knows things deep within our minds that we have forgotten. God also sees behind our masks. Now, we know what that is. We grow up and we learn to pretend more than we are. That's being hypocritical. We say one thing, we mean another. We lie. We put on these masks. We pretend to be happy when we're sad or something like that. God sees behind our masks. He sees directly into our hearts, our innermost beings. Hebrews 4:13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God sees everything we are doing. He hears everything we're thinking. Back in World War II, a Nazi SS trooper lined up a bunch of Jews in a village and shot them all down. And a Catholic priest came running out and said to him, he says, God is watching. And the SS trooper killed him too, but God saw that too. God sees our sins. He hears our sinful words. He knows our sinful thoughts and feelings. He knows the hatred that's in our heart. Racism, greed, lust, you name it. All the sins begin in our hearts. God knows it. God knows all about you and me. God knows about some particularly bad sin that we may have done that nobody else knows about. We thought we got away with it. We did it. We said, oh, at least nobody saw that. God saw it. Sometimes it stays with us on our conscience. We wonder, maybe someone will find out about that. You can rest uneasy. God already knows about that. You see, as I said, it makes us uncomfortable. God knows all of our sins, even our secret sins. Romans 2:16 says that God will bring into judgment even our secret sins. Psalm 90, verse 8 says, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. God sees it. Even sins that we have long ago forgotten. God is not forgotten. This makes us uncomfortable. The famous Nobel Prize winning French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre became an atheist for this reason. He said, I grew up in a Catholic, good Catholic French family, believing God knows everything. He said, wait a second, God knows even my personal things. What I'm thinking, feeling, when I'm alone. He says, I don't like that. Makes God a cosmic peeping Tom. He says, I don't like that. So he just said, oh, there's no God. Therefore, I can live with that. No, he couldn't. He died in his sins. It makes us uncomfortable to know that God knows what we are thinking at any moment. When we're at work, at school, driving down the street, walking down the road. God knows what we're thinking when we're sitting in church and the preacher is preaching and our minds begin to wander. God knows what you're thinking. God knows if you're disagreeing with the pastor or with the Bible, or if you're saying, I don't believe that, or I don't care. God knows what you're thinking at this very moment. Every moment. Not just in church. Everywhere. God knows. So what should we do? As I said, this becomes a threat to us. God puts the searchlight on us. When we realize God knows what I'm thinking and that is sinful, God says, repent. Acknowledge it. Confess it and say, God, you know this. Therefore, help me to turn from this and be forgiven. So the teaching of God's omniscience should be an incentive for the unbeliever to turn from sin and turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And he knows if you will repent. And he knows if you do not want to repent. Now, as I said, that's a threat to unbelievers. But every one of the attributes of God is a threat to unbelievers. But every one of the attributes of God, including this golden one, is a comfort to believers. Here are some lessons for believers. Number one, it is a comfort to know that God knows all about us. Such as in rough times. You know, there used to be that old wonderful spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. God knows. God knows the difficulties you go through. We want sympathy from other people, and sometimes even if they can't help us, it's good to know someone else at least knows what I'm going through. God knows. In Exodus 3:17, when God was talking to Moses, Moses was on his face. God said to him, says, I've heard the cries of my people back in slavery, back there in Egypt. And he says these words, I know their sorrows. You know what's a wonderful comfort, friends? When you're all by yourself and you're brokenhearted and you fall on your bed weeping your eyes out, nobody else is there except God. And he sees every single tear. And he knows. And he cares. That's why it's a comfort to us. He knows when we hurt. We're told in Psalm 103:14, he knows our frailties, that we are but dust. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our hurts, our worries, our fears. We need sympathy. And we want it from other people. Unfortunately, nobody else can be as sympathetic as God because not everybody knows everything. Some people will know, but they don't care. And other people can care, but they can't help. This is a wonderful truth. God knows, he cares, and he helps. What a wonderful God we serve. This is why from time to time we put on our prayer list anonymous prayer needs. What do I mean by that? Anonymous prayer needs are those needs that we have that are so personal we don't even share with other people. Sometimes not even our spouses or our parents, but we can share them with God. God knows and he cares. So we should pray for one another in those areas we don't know about, but we know that everybody has them. They're known only to God who knows and cares. Something else on this that's a comfort. God also knows when we are falsely accused. When we're blamed for something at work, or some family member gets angry with us and shakes their fist at us and says, you did that, you lied, and we know we didn't. God knows that we are innocent. And God will defend us and he'll set everything right one day. Psalm 1:6 says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Number two, the omniscience of God is a great help in prayer. Now, remember earlier I said it's easy for us to misuse this and offer advice to God. No, we don't offer advice to God when we pray. But brethren, when we pray, we're not telling God things he doesn't already know. We're not informing him. We're not even reminding him. The purpose of prayer is so that we can bring our burdens to God who already knows and cares. Jesus said right before the Lord's Prayer, he said, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So the omniscience of God shouldn't be a hindrance to prayer. It should be an assistance to prayer. Number three. The fact that God knows everything increases our trust in God. God always knows what is best. Therefore, we can trust him. As we go through life, we have difficulty trusting people that have hurt us. Or maybe they don't know enough that we... I don't know if I can trust my car to that mechanic. You know, I don't know if that guy's a very good guy. We can trust God because he knows everything. He knows all answers. He never makes a mistake. God always knows what is best. When I was a child, there was a popular TV show entitled Father Knows Best. God, our Father, knows what is best for us. Therefore, we can trust Him. And we can trust Him when we don't understand. Just like a little child that doesn't understand. You know, why am I hurting, Mommy? Well, the mother can't explain it all, but the little child crawls up in mother's lap and mother comforts her. Brethren, our hearts can go out to God in trust beyond what our minds can understand. That's part of faith. And that takes humility. You remember Job? Job was being humbled. And God didn't tell him everything, why he was going through it all. Basically, he's saying, Job, just simply submit and trust me. And Job did. And so should we. Sometimes we feel stupid in the presence of someone that's really smart. You know the feeling? You ever meet a super genius? I mean someone, you know, rocket scientist, got a brain greater than 1,000 computers. You feel stupid in his presence. At least I do. I don't know about you. When we come before God, knowing that God knows everything, that makes us feel stupid. But God doesn't berate us. He doesn't browbeat us and say, you stupid fool, don't you know anything? God knows that we are stupid, dumb, don't know everything. But He's patient with us. He says, come to me and I will teach you. But it takes humility to say, Lord, I don't know. Teach me. And then He will teach us. Number four and lastly, worship God for His omniscience. As I said, when we learn about God, especially in this area, this isn't just some theologian's game. Oh, yes, does God know the impossible, stuff like that? I'm not even going to go into that. Knowing more about God's omniscience should move us to worship Him more. In Romans 11, this is what Paul did. As he was writing this wonderful letter talking about justification by faith and sanctification by the Spirit and how God's working everything out with Jews and Gentiles, he explodes in this paean of worship. And he says in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. He didn't say, you know, this is nice. God's omniscient. No, He fell on His face and He lifted up His voice in worship. And brethren, we should be like that as well. We should be amazed and astounded and look up to God and worship Him who knows everything. Today we've said that God knows everything that is or ever has been. What about the future? Does God know the future? Now, to answer that, you'll have to come back next week. God knows everything, even about the future. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, most wise, all-knowing God, we are humbled before You. We are so small and we know so little and we make so many mistakes. But we are amazed and astounded at You who knows everything. And then, Father, You know everything about us. With David, we would say, search me, O Lord. Cut me open, examine me and show me what's inside of me. So that I might repent and be forgiven. Father, thank You for the great comfort in knowing that our Heavenly Father knows everything and we can trust You implicitly. Thank You. In Jesus' name, Amen.